want to read to you a passage of scripture that is found in the 10th chapter of the book of Luke. And we begin at verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. As the Lord speaks this word to Martha, he says that she is careful and troubled about many things. It is so very easy to become careful and troubled. We live in a society today that causes us a great deal of anxiety. We have family woes. We have personal troubles that confront our lives. We have financial difficulties. There are health concerns among our people. And so because of all of these influences that surround us, sometimes we become careful and troubled. We become anxious. We have a tendency to worry about many things. Worry will cause us to lose sleep. Worry can even lead to health problems. Worry and anxiety and carefulness about life can bring disaster to us. And so I want us to pay very special attention to the Lord's statement here to Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Since the Bible has much to say about a life that is lived in peace and contentment, free from anxiety and worry, I want us to look at some thoughts that I have as to how you and I can live a worry, anxiety, carefulness-free life, where we can live the life that the Lord wanted us to live. The Lord speaks often about peace. When the Bible talks about peace, the Lord not only speaks about that peace that comes to exist between ourselves and God because of the redemptive effort of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that also brings an inner peace, an inner calmness, a tranquility of spirit and soul. This is the life that the Lord wanted us to live. In John chapter 14 and verse 1, you remember he said, let not your heart be troubled. And he makes that statement again at verse 27 in John chapter 14. And so it is the intention of God, it is the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ, that those of us who have come to know Christ, who have come to obey him and hear his word, that you and I can live in this present world free from anxiety, free from worry, and free from carefulness. I want to suggest some ways why we might do that. First of all, there is the word which comforts us. What was Mary doing while Martha was serving? Now, we do not want to undermine Martha's effort of serving. She was performing a task of love. The Bible refers to this as a labor of love in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, and also in Hebrews chapter 6. There are labors of love that we perform. Martha was performing a labor of love. She was engaged in serving a meal for the Lord Jesus Christ. But Mary was listening to the Lord. She was listening to Him teach. She was listening to His Word. In verse 39 of Luke 10, the record says she heard His Word. And as Martha comes to Jesus and confronts Him about Mary's refusal to help her, the Lord said, "One thing is needful." There are events in life that are more important than other events. There are things that you and I will do in this old world that are more important than other things. It was important that a meal be served, but it was more important that Mary hear the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part. It shall not be taken away from her." The Bible has been written so that you and I can receive comfort from that word. In fact, in Luke chapter 8, where Jesus teaches a story about the word of God being sown in the hearts of men, He uses physical seed to describe that word, and He uses physical elements into which that seed is cast, because in that day and time they sowed seed by broadcasting it. They did not have access to all of the machinery that we have today in this modern era, and so they would walk about and they would throw that seed, and it would fall into different areas of the earth. Some was hard, some was rocky, some was thorny, and of course, there was the good soil that had been carefully prepared for the reception of the seed. Jesus describes that seed that is tossed into the thorny soil as the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world. And He says that chokes out the word. Carefulness chokes out the word. Our anxiety over life, our worrying about certain situations that occur in our life, whatever they may be, and they're different for different individuals, will choke out the Word. Jesus emphasizes to us that the Word must be heard. In Psalms 119, at verse 50, the psalmist said that Thou hast comforted me in mine affliction. Thy word hath quickened me. The means by which the psalmist was comforted in his affliction was by the word. We need to open the word. We need to read the word. We need to meditate upon the Word, because in the words of the Bible there is great comfort. There is a solution to the problems that you and I face. Sometimes we do not want to hear what the Word has to say. Sometimes we neglect what the Word has to say. Sometimes we disbelieve what the Word has to say. The Apostle Paul wrote to Roman Christians in chapter 15 in verse 4, and he says, "The things which were written aforetime," and he refers no doubt to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant that was given through Moses, "things written aforetime were written for our learning." When we read the Old Testament, we are reading that to to learn great lessons. God teaches us lessons. And if we will hear those lessons, if we will allow the Bible to speak to us, it will avoid great catastrophe in our life. And so he says, the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. What do the Scriptures afford me? They afford me comfort, and they afford me hope. I pick up the daily newspaper and read it, I find no comfort. I find no hope. Because all that is negative in the world is recorded upon those pages. But in the Bible, the Word of God, the Word which Mary was hearing, will bring comfort and hope. If you want to live a life free of anxiety, then listen to the Word of God. But we can also live the worry-free life because of the shepherd who leads us. You and I have a shepherd. The job of the shepherd was to look after the sheep. The shepherd had to find adequate nourishment for the sheep. He had to find an adequate place where they could be fed and where they could be watered. The Lord Jesus Christ is pictured as our shepherd. In fact, in John 10 and verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Any good shepherd would guard his sheep. He would protect them from whatever enemy came to harm them. You recall that David, who is described as a shepherd in the Old Testament, and who in fact was tending the sheep when Samuel came to anoint him as king of Israel. He made the statement that upon one occasion God had delivered him out of the paw of the lion and out of the mouth of the bear. And so as a shepherd who tended sheep, David was aware of the deliverance of God, the help of God, and the strength of God. And so he writes in one of the most beloved Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why do we not want? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Did sheep worry about adequate grazing ground, adequate water? No, because it was the responsibility of the shepherd to provide that. And so David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Not waters that are disturbed. Not waters that are troubled. Not waters that are muddy. But still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Can we submit ourselves to the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we capable of trusting the situations in our life to the care and the keeping of the shepherd who gave his life for the sheep? When it came time for Jesus to give his life for the sheep, he did not flee. He did not turn himself from that task, but rather he willingly submitted to that ordeal. And then he says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me beside still waters, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness. He does not lead me in paths that are corrupt, paths that are tainted, but rather he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and we will. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What confidence. That's not the voice of an anxious spirit. Those aren't the words of a troubled soul. Those are the words of an individual who believed in the leadership of the shepherd. And with confidence, he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is described as the great shepherd of the sheep in Hebrews 13 and verse 20. He is described as the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 25. The word bishop simply means overseer. Jesus is one who oversees our life. Even at this moment, he looks from his throne at the right hand of God, and he beholds his sheep. We can live a trouble-free life because of the shepherd who leads. But we can also live this life because of the God who cares. God cares about us. The care of people is fickle. They may care about you for a time. They may express their love and their devotion to you for a time. But circumstances and situations might arise which interferes with that care and that devotion and even cause it to cease. I have heard individuals make the remark after many years of marriage, I don't love him or her anymore. Sometimes people will listen to our problems, but they don't really care whether those problems are solved or not. We live in a society that seems to be very aloof, but God cares. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. How much of my care am I to cast upon God? Peter says, cast all of it. Oh, but I want to keep this part for myself. And as we do that, what does it cause? Carefulness, anxiety, worry, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. The Bible teaches in Matthew 10, 29 through 31 that God even cares about the sparrows that fly in the heavens. God is even mindful of the number of hairs on our head. Now that is real concern. God is so concerned about his creation, about his people, his church, that he knows how many hairs are growing on our head. That means that he is concerned about the most minute thing that happens in my life. He is concerned about the sparrows. And the scripture says they're sold for 2 farthings. which was a very insignificant amount. Perhaps it could be described as a penny for us today. And so we look at that and we say, well, they were actually worthless. And when you behold the sparrows flying in the heavens, when you watch them upon the ground pecking at the crumbs that they find there, what significance are they? What are they worth? What benefit do they have? We do not raise them for food. We do not raise them for any function that they can perform for us. We can consider from our own viewpoint that a sparrow actually is worthless. But Jesus said, one sparrow cannot fall from heaven to the ground without God noticing that. And then he asked that question, are ye not more valuable than many sparrows? If God is mindful of the hairs that grow on our head, if God is mindful of the sparrows which are absolutely worthless, then is he not going to be more concerned about you and me? Nothing happens in my life, whether it be good or bad, whether it be a blessing or a curse, that God does not take notice. Nothing disturbs my tranquility without God being aware of that. And the Bible says that he cares. When I have entered into darkness, God cares. When my life is overshadowed with sorrow, God cares. He's mindful of every disturbance. In the book of Hebrews at chapter 13, the writer admonishes, let your conversation be without covetousness. Oh, how we need to hear that in our materialistic society. Because we are covetous. We want the newest brand of automobile. We want the newest fashion of clothing. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The writer says, the Lord is my helper. And because the Lord is my helper, I do not need to be afraid of what man will do unto me. We're constantly bombarded by the media. We're constantly made aware, we're constantly reminded that we have enemies. And that there are many dangers that are lurking. To many people, that might cause anxiety. And that might cause concern. But here the writer says, if the Lord is my helper, and he is, he helps me to the extent that I can be content with such things as I have, that I can live a life free of covetousness, because He will never leave me nor forsake me. Marriages may dissolve, but the Lord will always be faithful. Parents and children might build a wall between one another, but the Lord will always be with us. Sometimes even church members might forsake us, but the Lord will always be with us. I will never, never, never leave thee nor forsake thee. But I've heard people ask when disaster comes, where's the Lord? Why did the Lord allow this to happen to me? And we want to blame all the circumstances of life, all the negative influences that affect us upon the Lord, rather than in that time of need, drawing more closely to the Lord. How do you think Moses was able to lead those grumbling Israelites from the land of Egypt through the wilderness for 40 years to the Jordan River, where they would cross over into the land of Canaan? Because God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then when he said, Moses, my servant, is dead, and handed that torch of leadership to Joshua, how do you think Joshua was able to take up that torch and continue to lead those people into the land, to conquer those enemies and fight those battles and endure those afflictions? Because God said, I will never leave you. Romans chapter 8, one of the greatest chapters in Scripture. Read it often. The question is asked in verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? And after he looks at the enemies that you and I are going to face in this world, he says in verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. But you and I can live the carefree life because also of the throne of grace. There is a throne to which you and I can go. I do not expect to ever meet the President of the United States. I do not expect to ever sit down and have a meal with him and enjoy conversation with him. Nor do I expect to know the governor of our state, or for that matter, any elected official. But there is a throne to which I can go every day and every hour if I choose. There is one who sits upon a throne, who rules over this old universe. And to him I can speak every day, every hour. There is a throne of grace that has been made available. It's not a throne which dictates. It's not a throne which enslaves. It's a throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. How do we come? Boldly. Without fear. With full confidence. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God knew there were going to be times of need in our life. Even Jesus, his son, his beloved son, did not live life free of those times of need. If you read the Gospels, you will find that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have recorded for us some of the prayers of Jesus. They have taught us about the prayer life of Jesus. They have shown us that early in the morning he would go out into a desert place, a deserted place, a place where he could be alone and he would pray unto the Heavenly Father. They have even told us that he spent one entire night in prayer to God. We find that when the disciples came to the Lord and made a request of him, though he were a great teacher, they did not inquire of him how they might be great teachers. But rather they requested of him, Lord, teach us to pray. They saw in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ the access to the throne of grace, and they wanted that in their lives because there are going to be times of need. There are going to be times when you and I need help. Oh, we've become so independent, so self-reliant. I'll just work it out myself. Rather than seeking the grace to help, the mercy to sustain us, what do you hope to find at the throne of grace? Do we believe that throne to be simply a wish list where we can announce to God all the things that we want? You know, even in recent months, I've changed the manner in which I pray. Rather than asking God for certain things to take place and for certain blessings to come, I have declared that He knows better what I need than I do myself. And so give me what I need rather than what I think I want or what I think I need. That's true even for the prayers that I pray for my family. But I know at this throne there is grace and mercy because He is a God who cares. In James 5 and verse 11, where James mentions the man Job. And from time to time, perhaps we need to read the book of Job. I don't know that we understand all the things that are in the book of Job. I certainly do not. A lady asked me in a Bible class one time to teach the book of Job. It took about 8 months, and she finally grew weary of the study. She said, I thought you could do it much quicker than you did, or I would not have asked you to have studied that. But in that passage in James 5 and verse 11, what did Job learn? He learned that the Lord is very pitiable, and of tender mercy. The Lord has compassion. What am I going to find at the throne of grace in my time of need? I'm going to find compassion. I'm going to find help. That's why I'm going to the throne of grace. I realize that I cannot do for myself what needs to be done, and that I have no real solutions to the problems in my life, that I do not have enough wisdom. And so I want to consult that throne where I know I will find compassion and where I will find mercy. Listen to Philippians 4 and verse 6. The King James Version says, in nothing be anxious. In nothing be anxious. One version says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then we can live the carefree life because we have a high priest. We have one who serves as a mediator. We have an advocate. We have one who pleads our cause. In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And this high priest is one who has been where I am. He has traveled the road that I traveled. He has experienced what I experience. He has been tempted in every way like as I have been tempted. In Hebrews chapter 5, where the writer discusses the office of the high priest under the Old Testament, he says in verse 2 that that high priest had to be able to have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. That high priest, having experienced life, knowing the difficulties and the problems and the afflictions and the troubles that confronted his people, could have compassion on them. Can someone have compassion who has never experienced what we experience? Who has never lived where we live? Who has never walked the road that you and I walk? That high priest that was chosen from the Levitical tribe had been where they were. He had been confronted with infirmity, and so he could have compassion on them. And then in verse 7, concerning our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Why, Jesus has been here. He's faced the devil. He's battled evil. He's experienced loneliness. He's been where I am. He's been where you are. And he can have compassion. Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. We need to live a troubled, carefree life in this world. We can do that through the ways that I have suggested unto you, and perhaps there are many others. But in this world, one thing is needful. You and I need to come to grips with what it is. My prayer for you and for myself is that we live a life free from anxiety, that we do not worry about the circumstances that confront us, because worry disrupts happiness, worry disrupts peace. Worry will cause us to grow old in a hurry. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. One thing is me.